Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. This is class session 150. And while you are pulling up your chair and getting ready to be a student in this Bible school, I'd invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, and we'll continue the study that we began in the last class session about how Jesus is the friend of sinners. Now, while you're turning your Bible to Luke chapter 7, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We do meet every Sunday morning, and one way or another, all are welcome to all of our assemblies. We've been meeting in this location for over 100 years. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And today we're studying the lesson, Jesus the Friend of Sinners. Have you ever heard someone try to excuse sin by saying, well, we're all sinners, as though if one person's a sinner and another person a sinner, if we're all sinners, doesn't that make us all alike? No, it does not, because there are different kinds of sinners. There are penitent sinners, and there are rebellious sinners. There are proud sinners, and there are humble sinners. There are those who sin while wrestling against sin and trying to overcome sin. And there are those who sin simply because they have given themselves over to sin. Anytime someone says we're all sinners, and in saying that or trying to excuse some sin, are abusing what would otherwise be a truth. Elam, in Elam's notes for this Sunday school lesson, is talking about the different kinds of sinners. He talks about those Pharisees that were zealously righteous and went about to establish their own righteousness, Romans 10:1-3, and yet their worship was vain because they rejected the commandments of God in order to keep their own traditions. We read about them in the book of Mark, and I'm going to turn over here to Mark chapter 7 and read the first 15 verses of that chapter. Here it says, there were gathered unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem and had seen that some of his disciples ate their bread with defiled, that is, unwashing hands. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands diligently, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, except they bathe themselves, they eat not. And many other things there are which they have received to hold, washings of cups and pots and brazen vessels. And the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with defiled hands? And he said unto them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men. Ye leave the commandment of God, and hold fast the tradition of men. And he said unto them, full well do you reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that speaketh evil of father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father and his mother, that wherewith thou mightest have been profited by me is Corban, that is to say, given to God, ye no longer suffer him to do aught for his father or his mother, making void the word of God by your tradition, which ye have delivered. And many such like things ye do. And he called to him the multitude again, and said unto them, hear me all of you, and understand. There is nothing from without the man that is going into him can defile him, but the things which proceed out of the man, those are they that defile him. We read about those who prayed and fasted and gave alms and made broad their phylacteries of their garments, and they did all of this outward show of righteousness to be seen of men. Their theology, self-righteousness, and hypocrisy blinded them to the truth. In the most withering and scathing terms, Jesus exposed them and denounced them in Matthew chapter 23, where he repeatedly said unto them, "Woe, woe, woe unto you, ye scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites." As in this lesson and other facts demonstrate, publicans and harlots went into the kingdom of God before the Pharisees. We read in Matthew chapter 21 a story that Jesus told where he concluded this. It's in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 28. "But what think ye," Jesus said, "a man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in the vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented himself and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Which of the two did the father's will?" They say, "The first." Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye saw it, did not even repent of yourselves afterward, that ye might believe in him." Because publicans and harlots, in humility and penitence, confessed their sins and obeyed God, they went into the kingdom of God. The Pharisees, who were very punctilious in observing many religious forms and ceremonies and in standing aloof from those they called sinners, yet they crucified the Son of God. There can be no greater sinners than this class. Stubbornness and rebellion are the highest crimes against God's government. These are the great sins, because the stubborn, rebellious, self-righteous, and self-sufficient, although they may be scrupulously moral, cannot be reached by the simple, plain gospel of Christ. Such characters will not submit to God. God cannot save the immoral in their sins, for immoralities sprang from fleshly impulses and not from stubborn and rebellious wills. Hence the immoral are more easily moved by the gospel to repentance and a better life. It is possible to be both immoral and rebellious, impenitent and stubborn. Now we read in our text for this lesson in the book of Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. "One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he entered into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat." We do not know who this Pharisee was, except that his name was Simon, as we see him called twice, once in Luke 7 and verse 40 and the other in Luke 7 and verse 44. Simon was the name of several different persons mentioned in the New Testament. Many of the Pharisees were not so yet decided against Jesus as to refuse to hear him. This one wanted to hear him and invited him to his house. There is no evidence that he ever did more than this. He would have to become much better than this lesson leaves him to become a disciple of Jesus. Jesus accepted the invitation alike to eat with publicans and Pharisees, always with the purpose to honor God and teach men. And we see this repeatedly done in the life of Christ. The text says in Luke 7:36 that he sat down to meat. And to understand the customs of that day and the significance of that, it is that he reclined on his left elbow toward the table with his feet stretched out behind him. And then a sinful woman anointed Jesus' feet. Let me read Luke chapter 7 and verse 37. And behold, a woman who was in the city, a sinner. And when she knew that he was sitting at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster curse of ointment. Behold, a woman, a sinner. This woman was not an invited guest, but came in while the guests were at the table. This was no violation of custom or rule of politeness. It was customary for strangers to pass in and out of the houses during a meal if they desired to speak to any of the guests. During Matthew's feast, the Pharisees and disciples of John the Baptist went in to talk with Jesus. This woman was a sinner, but so was Simon the Pharisee. But she was a recognized sinner. She was an unchaste woman. She lived in the city, which was probably, in this instant, Capernaum. She had heard of the mercy and compassion of Jesus before, as the expression, when she knew Jesus was in Simon's house, shows. She sought him there. Possibly she had heard his woes against the wicked cities about there and his gracious invitation to those who labor and are heavy laden to come to him for rest and peace. There was no mercy and rest for her among the people generally. This was her only hope, but it was a bright one, her only way of escape, but it was a safe one. She brought an alabaster curse of ointment. Alabaster is a kind of stone out of which were carved these curses or ornamental vases. It was considered the best material in which to preserve ointments. This woman brought an alabaster curse of ointment. On quite a different occasion, and just before his death, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, at the supper in the house of Simon the leper, anointed the head and feet of Jesus with a costly ointment of spikenard from an alabaster curse. This woman could easily stand at Jesus' feet while he reclined at the table. We learn at Luke chapter 7 and verse 38, and standing behind at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hairs of her head and kiss his feet and anoint them with ointment. The word of which standing is a translation means primarily to place, to put, to take a position. This woman took a position behind Jesus, not upon her feet, for there she could not have wiped his feet with her hair or kissed them. She was doubtless on her knees with her head bowed to his feet. Behold the picture. She was weeping, and her profuse tears wet the Savior's feet. There were tears of penitence sweetened with the hope of mercy. Having no towel, she loosed her hair and wiped the travel-stained, tear-washed feet with it. Then in humility and reverence she kissed them, and in respect of love anointed them with the ointment. Simon, the self-righteous sinner, drew back from the pollution. It is no wonder that so many artists have endeavored to put this on canvas. Oh, Jesus replied to Simon's thoughts. Luke 7 and verse 39. Well, now when the Pharisee that had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have perceived who and what manner the woman this is that touched him, that she is a sinner. And Jesus answering him said unto him, Simon, I have something to say unto thee. And he said, teacher, say on. Both the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying that this man receives sinners and eateth with them in Luke 15:2. It was contrary to their ideas of sanctity to receive publicans and sinners. In their estimation, publicans and sinners were worse than Gentiles. And it was an unlawful thing for a Jew to join himself or come into such of another nation or to eat with him. Acts 10:28. or Acts 11 in verse 3. We'll stop there and pick up for the next class.